Hello, welcome to Bagel Tech Big, the weekend show from the Bagel Tech Network. The last one of the day. Gosh, we're weary. With me, Ewan Rankin, and I'm joined by a motley crew this morning. Or this evening, even. No, it's not this morning. top right, we've got Mr. James Hart, Syzygy on Twitter. Hello, James. How are you doing?
I wasn't expecting to be introduced first. Hello, good evening, Mr. Ewan. I'm well, thank you very much. I sound like Basil Brush, a very sort of stoned Basil Brush. Hello, Mr. Ewan.
How's life at the Beeb, mate?
Funnily enough, it didn't make the national news or anything, but I was rather surprised to discover that some of the BBC's websites got hacked this week. Oh. And that troubled me a little bit because the Beeb is supposed to be bulletproof, one of the top 10 sites in the world, and they're serving malware.
No one's safe, mate. I saw as well that iPlayer is now giving the link love out, and they're linking to 4 On Demand and 5 and all that crew.
Well, that's this whole UView thing. It's going to be... They're not sure when it's going to be launched yet, but this is this big thing where it's the next step after Freeview. It's Internet Freeview, which is UView.
My insider tells me that the launch date is set in stone. It is not going to move. They're just not publicising it for when, so that they can't be accused of not having it set in stone.
Right.
But that's me insider. We'll keep that quiet, eh? Below James is Kyle Swagger, early in the morning in the Philippines. Hello, pal. Good sleep?
Yeah, well, 4 hours of it. Very solid.
Oh, you're a muppet, mate. You're always going to bed at the wrong time.
Yeah, it's my own fault.
I've got to get up at 5 a.m. I know. I'll wait till 3 a.m. to go to bed.
Pretty much.
Oh, why do I put so much faith in you? And
I don't know why.
Come over, drum roll.
Big mistake.
Returning after an absence of 3 years. Well, maybe not. It's Carrie Holtzman with a curly whirly.
Oh, wait a minute. Are we? Oh, I thought I was just watching.
No, you're joining in, dude. You've got a curly whirly.
It's interfering with my
For those of you that lunch. Think that that's a sexual reference to a pig's genitalia or something, it's not. It's a chocolate bar here in the UK that Carrie prides himself on being able to get in Arizona.
Right. It's a full-size
one
as well.
I used to have these as a child. They were called marathon bars.
It's made by Hershey, which means it tastes like crap. It's not like a Cadbury's Curly Whirly, but...
It's nostalgia from my childhood.
Yeah, but it's a different nostalgia. It's like an altered reality, mate. Your altered reality is Twilight Zone. Mine's Cadbury's.
We have Cadbury's.
No, you don't have Cadbury's. You really don't have Cadbury's.
That is a beautiful, beautiful thing right
there. You Kraft may have bought it, but you really don't have Cadbury's. That looks huge, mate.
That is too big.
That is not crap.
That's not a curly whirly.
Put it away.
That is curly whirly.
that's the curly whirly in the 1970s, dude.
That's what... Listen, didn't I just say I was nostalgic?
Yeah, true.
Yes, it probably tastes... if it tastes fresh, might as well eat it.
Gary, your video's crap, dude. Really jerky.
It's only 30 years old.
It's a 30-year-old curly whirly, yeah. Last but by no means least, the angriest man in tech, Troy King. How you doing, pal?
I'm angry, Ewan.
There's a surprise. What are you angry about this week, then, pal?
People Facebooking whilst driving. This week, a 70-year-old guy got hit by a dope that was Facebooking while they were driving, and that really angers me because... You know, what if I'm on the receiving end? Let me tell you this. If I'm going to be a victim, it's the other guy that's going to be walking home in a body bag.
But that wouldn't make you the victim then, would it? I'm sorry to have spotted a flaw in your plan so early.
It's a new exchange scheme he's working on.
I'm the new mental victim. However, I will achieve physical superiority, of course.
Rest an eye for an eye.
That's not fair because it was actually a fairly serious story, wasn't it? So, but I do apologize. So, whoever the 7-year-old girl is who ever got hit by the moron, then I do apologize. However,
70-year-old.
Oh, that's okay. Oh, who cares then? God,
they've had a life long enough.
So, okay. Oh, bland. We used to have listeners. So the The week in technology. Google has gone after the content farms, which was pretty horrific. Apparently, as well, at Mobile World Congress, we spent the whole of last week talking about the diversion of the Android operating system into Honeycomb and the last one, Gingerbread. And it was going to take two completely different directions, one for tablets and one for phones. But apparently, according to Eric, the next version, they're all going to join back together again. You'll have one operating system that will go through all of it. So all of last week's show, complete and utter garbage. But that's not new. Unstoppable is the first Blu-ray movie to ship with a digital copy of the movie available for Android phones. Can we have a round of applause? Hey, huzzah.
Huzzah.
Troy would be very happy about that one. Portal 2 is coming out in the next couple of weeks, but it won't be supporting PlayStation Move, which I think is a real screw-up. Zuckerberg has said, oh, you really think that the Facebook phone on HTC is a flash in the pan? We'll expect dozens of them in the coming weeks. And Gemalto has said that they want to put Facebook on a SIM chip, so wherever you go, it will follow you. Zuckerberg in your pocket to the extreme. The Met has got an opera, which is already in 3D because it's people on a stage and you're looking at them with two eyes. But they've decided to give the audience 3D glasses because they're going to put some visual effects behind it, which I think is a real retrograde step. AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson wants a hug from his mommy. He threw his teddy in the corner this week and said, I think the App Store's a bad thing because, of course, you're not in it and you've lost all of your iPhones to Verizon. Mm. And last but by no means least, the perfect Rickroll. A student wrote his paper for his university for his dissertation, and it was never going to give you up all down the left hand column. Absolutely fabulous, well done. The first word in each each line spelt out the Rick Astley song. And Kyle has come up with an absolutely fabulous one, which is that gonorrhea takes a piece of human DNA forever. And we casted our minds back to think of what the song was, and of course, where the Paul Young song about taking a piece of you with me. We always thought it was a heart thing, but apparently it was a gonorrhea thing. So, not very pleasant.
Kind of predict the future on that one, didn't we?
Yeah. Yes. There we go. So the week in technology. Then, well, we talked about the Google thing because that doesn't matter anymore because we kind of screwed all that up last week. What should we talk about? What about Watson? Watson won on Jeopardy. Did you watch
no
that
surprise.
Or not? Did you watch it or
God,
not?
I DVR'd it. I hadn't watched it yet.
Oh, sorry,
it,
dude.
Ruined it.
Sorry, dude.
Now I'm really angry.
Troy didn't know that the supercomputer that cost about $15 million to develop didn't win. Of course it was going to win, mate. It was going to win before it even started.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It kicked ass.
I mean, I thought it was interesting just how kind of close the other two were, particularly Ken Jennings, the guru of Jeopardy.
Who?
It was interesting. Ken Jennings, he's the longest champion or something on Jeopardy. But anyways, yeah, it was a given. It was going to win. It'd take, like, what, four or five air conditioners to keep that damn computer cool?
It was remarkably quiet efficient. Through the show. Did you see any of the footage that leaked out on YouTube?
You what, can with the back console, the back area?
Yeah, no, you can just imagine that the two contestants have got they've shared a pair of earplugs in the left and right ear so that they can actually hear themselves or hear the questions. But they're going to give the million dollars to charity. Does a lot of work for charity, Watson. Never mind.
Now, Watson should have kept it himself. IBM will probably keep it. We got to pay for that air conditioning bill.
Carrie, are you at the Met, mate?
What's Watson going to do next?
Watching this in 3D.
You really aren't. Holtzman's wearing a pair of 3D glasses. Sorry, you were saying something sensible there, James.
What are they going to do with Watson now he's finished playing Jeopardy? I mean, is there really any purpose for him?
Well, I got chastised this week. Because
did you?
Yeah, I tweeted out.
You want to hear about this?
Well, it's not the first time. All right, fair point. No, I got tweeted. I got chastised this week because I said that IBM had probably the last proper research department in corporate computing. So it's basically, we're going to pour money at you, and you can do whatever you like. You come up with all the wacky ideas that you want. And I went to a firm's R&D department that I do a lot of work for. They make conveyors. And I had my camera taken off me and my phone taken off me. I wasn't allowed to take anything to this research department. And it really was these guys stood around in white coats trying to figure out ways of getting things out of boxes and onto conveyors. And they got these... I'm not kidding you. They'd come up with an idea whereby you stamped your foot and it threw the box towards you and then stopped the box and the contents would carry on. But the thing was, this little zone department got all of its funding and no one in the hierarchy cared what they did because sometimes they came up with some incredible ideas. Anyway, I tweeted it out that this, you know, IBM had the last proper research department. And someone said, no, HP have got one. And they sent me the link through to the website. But the website was all about developing the product. It was all about corporate and end-user product and making money from it. Whereas the Watson Research Division in IBM has got absolutely
it's
nothing to do
science.
With making money. It is pure science, exactly. It's absolutely. Proper research. It's university-level research. Insurance?
Well, that's unfortunately, when business gets difficult, it's the first thing that gets the plug pulled.
Exactly. Can anyone think of another corporate computing department or even a corporation that's got a pure research department that's kind of university level research?
We're fortunate at the BBC that we do.
Really?
Absolutely. Well, I don't think digital television would be the same without it. The iPlayer, a number of innovations. Wireless cameras are a fairly new invention, actually. R&D, also a massive number of developments. A common standard for an electronic program guide was developed by the BBC. Massive amounts of innovations going on, and the broadcast industry would really suffer without that kind of innovation because most companies, as you say, have got bottom lines. And
this isn't a rant about the unique way that the BBC is funded, is it, by any chance?
Oh, not at all. Well, to be honest with you, and I imagine that the BBC isn't unique in that it is a public broadcaster. I imagine the US, Australia, all these other countries club together, if you like, to come up with ideas and share concepts across the world. But
so how's PBS
funded? There'll be no innovation.
Yeah, but I, as an American, I can tell you I watch more BBC than I watch American television. So. I don't think you realize how good you've got it. Some of the shows on the BBC and some of the things they do on the BBC would certainly never get done on American television, including public broadcast system, PBS. And some of the chances they take and the experiments that they do in their shows that they show, that the green lights they give to certain shows have been absolutely amazing. And what's a little frustrating as an American is you have some shows that are just fantastic, just hilarious, wonderful, great, perfect. And the actors go, well, that was fun. Let's do something else now. So that's kind of the downside of it is you find something you really love. And it was just a whim on the part of the actors or the writers to do it.
I'd just like to clarify shows, for those listening.
Some of the best shows on TV, even on American television, originated from the BBC. Whether we talk about The Office was a BBC show, was it not?
It was.
Sure, yep.
And it's a big hit here in America. I know that you know, we have some shows over there, like Law & Order. You have Law & Order UK. But I believe that, you know, for pound for pound, I think the British shows, especially the BBC shows, they're just better shows.
But
again, you need the way the BBC is funded. I think, to be honest with you, though, the BBC didn't make television programs that got sold over the world. This actually does make a reasonable point. They wouldn't be able to fund the research they do because all the money that the BBC makes gets fed back into not just program making but innovation and stuff like that. And for that to be stopped would be a real pain. It would be a global problem. So. But then again, in some respects, it's because the BBC doesn't have a bottom line; it doesn't have to make a profit. It benefits from that, and I would suggest that anything that isn't a university or an organization which is not funded through profit, where people are sort of creaming off the good stuff to buy themselves yachts and jets, isn't going to bother with research and development so much.
Kerry, have you ever thought of running for political office?
Why?
Because the eulogy you've just given, which actually was fantastic, is about 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps. Because that's your favourite show.
Well, it was. It's gotten really, really bad, and they finally killed it and pulled the plug on it. But you look at a show like Top Gear. Top Gear.
Oh, America. Another quality program.
Well, but if you look at, first of all, the entertainment value, it's got a high production value. It's filmed very much film quality of a movie in many of the segments.
Oh, the cinematics are amazing, yep.
Mm. What's that?
The cinematics are amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Just the absolute quality of production is amazing. And they can sit there and they can insult and speak honestly about how they feel about a car manufacturer, whereas here, if that happened, well, you know, the car manufacturer wouldn't pay for any advertising. They'd threaten to pull out. They would... perhaps the owner of the station also owns or has a piece of investment in the car company. One company owns another. It's a big mess, where the BBC sort of is this independent and can pretty much do anything they want to. And that's given them the ability to have shows like EastEnders and Doctor Who that have become a phenomenon, in that they've been on as decades. Generation after generation can share this. In America, you know, a show gets very little time to find an audience. And if it doesn't hit right away, it's pulled before it has a chance to really develop. And I think it's a real crime in American television that they, many of the shows back in the day didn't get audiences right away. That took time for people to find the show and tune in. And now it's a matter of, we need to find that audience. It's got to be right away. They might move it to a different time slot, see if that works. Then the audience they had, they temporarily lose because they can't find the show. The BBC doesn't have any of those issues. The BBC can put on what they want to put on when they want to put it on, and not care if anybody tunes in. And I think that's what they produce.
In some respects, that's true. But unfortunately, it does need an audience to be able to get a general appreciation. Because otherwise, if nobody watched it, people would resent paying the license fee for a very small number of people. You know, because the license fee is effectively, it's not a tax, but it's certainly a kind of a mandatory thing. If you own a television, and if you never watch the BBC, you still have to pay it. People would resent that if the BBC became a niche thing. And it's a real delicate balance that the BBC has to strike. But you did raise an interesting point, and this is about archiving, in that the BBC not only is bringing YouView, which are bringing together the current output of all the digital, many of the digital UK brands, but it's also trying to put behind it a massive archive of material that has already gone. So many programs, unless you buy the box set, you'll never see it again. And I think there's a rich seam of programming that just exists either on people's PVRs, VHS videos sitting on the back wall, you know, or in these massive archives, which some bloke in overalls will wander down and get when it's required, maybe once or twice when the person who starred in it has died.
Well, except that everything is being put out on the internet now illegally anyway. So you can virtually find anything you want.
Not so much of the archive stuff. It's amazing how difficult it is to find a single home for. I mean, there's some programs from the 1970s and 1980s. I mean, there is probably one funny episode of Terry and June out there that exists. But I'll be buggered if I'm going to look for it.
No. The thing with Terry and June was, there was actually 150 funny episodes, but they were all the same episode. It was the same storyline every single time. Bronwyn in the chat room saying that she wishes that she could watch EastEnders because it looks like a fantastic show.
She probably only just watched a clip of it, and that's all you really need to watch.
I can't believe that Bronwyn watched a clip and actually understood a word that was being said anyway. I mean, it's...
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, because EastEnders did get released, didn't it, in the US? But they had a half-hour show that went out that explained Cockney rhyming slang and a whole load of other phrases that could be used, because they just believed that the American audience wouldn't manage to understand it. So they had to have this explanation show on.
Like a translation.
It was apples and pears means stairs.
You muppet.
You muppet.
You know, it's funny, though. Kerry has a good point about you know, how shows are introduced in the States, particularly every, you know, TV season, we'll get at least one or two or three from each network. And then, you know, a lot don't make it. And it doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense to me when these national networks already own cable networks that they could actually put them there. I mean, we are living in a universe now of 350-plus channels where you could easily just move it somewhere else.
Well, it's not that easy, though, is it? Because
no,
the cost
unfortunately,
of the
production
has to be more than what they can bring in, or less, rather, than what they can bring in advertising. They're not going to get the advertising
exactly.
rates on a higher channel.
Exactly. It's all about money, really. It's a money's game in the end. And it's the viewers
it's
that
not,
actually end up suffering.
But it's not for the BBC. That's what I'm trying to say. At least, you know, it seems that their motivation is different. When you look at Monty Python, for example, not really a successful show. Not until years later, almost like Star Trek. It didn't find its audience till years later. And they were given that opportunity to do something that really hadn't been done before, and where else but the BBC would have permitted that or allowed it at that time.
Well, there we go. The unique way in which the BBC is funded by the Bagel Tech Big Show. Other stories. Steve Jobs, Eric Schmidt, and Mark Zuckerberg are all going to go and see President Obama today and have lunch. Quite what they're going to discuss. It's not a public agenda or anything. But one of the stories that came out this week was that there are roughly $1 trillion sat in overseas accounts that belongs to Microsoft and a whole pile of other big names in the tech industry. And they're petitioning Obama to give them a tax holiday so that they can bring it back into the US for use in the economy. And they're you know, we're doing the right thing here because, you know, the economy needs the money. So we're pulling it back in so we can use it in the economy. Good, bad, completely criminal.
I'd take
the
criminal route there.
What the hell is it?
Where? Yeah, exactly. Is it some Swiss bank earning some
yes.
with somebody using it to? Does it actually exist?
Cayman Islands.
It's a terrifying thing.
Yeah, no. They reckon the total sum is $1 trillion, and they reckon what it is overseas sales, basically, that have gone from shops and those kind of things that you've been bought across the rest of the planet, and they've been shoved into offshore accounts in the Cayman Islands because of tax reasons. Because if they import the cash back into the US, they pay 35% tax rate on it. So you know, nearly 40% of it disappears immediately.
Maybe it's like Zuckerberg or something.
Would it be like what?
Zuckerberg or Ballmer? They're funding Al Qaeda or something.
They really wanted to help.
Right, where's my money? We've spent it. What on terrorism?
On the basis of what Zuckerberg's like, terrorism sounds a better option.
Well, I am in your SIM cards now. I track your every move.
I don't want to be a slave to Zuckerberg.
When did Zuckerberg... Did you do this the other week? Zuckerberg turns into the hooded claw again.
That's just how he looks. That's how he sounds to me.
Zuckerberg looks like the hooded claw.
I firmly believe that that's very accurate.
He's plastic in interviews,
but... And when I'm at home, I really sound like this, especially when my girlfriend touches me in those special places.
If you've listened to the Bagel Tech Big Show regularly over the last few weeks, you'll realize that about 20 to 25 minutes in, there's the 5 minutes of character assassination of Mark Zuckerberg. Normal service.
Sorry,
it is getting a little bit one way, isn't it? Yeah, Zuckerberg. We need to get Zuckerberg on so he can answer his critics.
He's gonna be limping home.
He's gonna
be tied up and left in a dumpster.
No, we can't put him on line 4 because that means Troy's above him and he'll crap on his head.
Oh,
no, he's gonna come on. And he's gonna go.
I got all your information. Bye, guys. Plus, I don't want to see Troy's butt cheeks.
Pardon?
I don't want to see Troy's butt cheeks.
No, me either. Good God, Troy!
Oh, sorry.
Tell me you heard that. Don't. Yeah. That was a don't, not a do. It's a don't.
I'm not. I'm gonna have to listen to that back because I'm sure he changed his story halfway through.
Is that Zuckerberg or Troy's butt cheeks?
Exactly. Yeah, it was. I didn't hear what Kyle said first time round.
Google OnePass. Moving the show along because we need to.
Oh yes.
Google OnePass is going to take 10% for content distribution as opposed to the horrendous 30% that's going to come from Apple's App Store subscriptions. And also, Apple are going to be insistent that you cannot purchase content from within the app unless you're giving them 30%. If it goes elsewhere to get the content, then they're going to still screw you or throw you out completely. Google versus Apple on subscriptions. Is it going to be a winner?
I can't believe they didn't do this. This was an idea just waiting to happen.
It's like Google Music, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not, you know, still waiting pointless. For that one. Utterly pointless.
We're still waiting for it, though. I mean, you hear about Google Music for so long now. We're still waiting for it. Supposedly it's supposed to be launched, what, with Honeycomb? Is that right?
Allegedly.
I heard this week, anyways. Yeah. It's just, get on with it already. They've talked to music execs. They've already got the master plan ready to go. I don't know what the heck's taking so long. I guess they're waiting for iTunes to only have, what, 55% of the market share?
And the rest, perhaps. I mean, Sony have pulled out as well, haven't they? They've got their own Curiosity thing that's coming up, which is Music Unlimited for $10 a month. So it's following.
Yeah, they haven't pulled out of iTunes. So they went back on that rumor this week. They, you know, oh yeah, we're going to leave because we got our own service. Mm. No, that they're going to stay in iTunes. That's 64.2% of the digital market in the U.S. They'd be stupid not to stay there, and that's kind of what they thought later in the week.
Are you guys in America familiar with the chairman's backing?
Is that a euphemism?
Yeah, the chairman's backing. The chairman's backing is a classic thing in British football, whereby a manager has had a serious run of defeats and his position is looking rather shaky. And you know he's going to be sacked when he gets the full support of the chairman and the board. He's gonna. Yep. So the minute that you say Sony are not pulling out the iTunes store, and they go, no, absolutely, we're 100% committed to the iTunes store. We love Steve Jobs. We're going to be there forever. You know they're leaving. It's exactly the same as a Steve Jobs product announcement, because he says 7-inch tablets are a pile of crap. We're not going to have those. He went on the earnings call and he said, we're not having those. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That is tantamount to saying the next iteration of the iPad will be 7 inches.
But from Sony's position, Sony is well known for just going, no, we're not going to do what everyone else is going to do. We're going to do our very own thing and quite possibly get 3% of the market, but make it very difficult for whoever it is that buys our stuff to do what they want to do with it.
That's right. They are brilliant at innovating, but... I've got to have a Bravia TV to watch it on. I've got to have a PlayStation to listen to it on. I mean, it would be very stupid of Sony to take that direction. I mean, this is exactly what I'm worried about from a consumer point of view. Whatever happened to the days where I walked into a store, I don't care what record label it's on, I just want the piece of music that I was listening to. Well, now I've got to find out what record label it's on. Oh, I got to go to their site. Oh, he's on Sony Music. Okay, I got to buy it there. It's unconsumer friendly, which is what's really pissing me off about this, and I feel that that's how the record industry is going to go one of these days. If you want something from the Beatles, you got to go to EMI. If you want something from Michael Jackson, you've got to go over to Sony.
It's what the music industry needs, though. It needs to be fragmented so it can be broken down, and the people who are running smaller companies can get together, federate, syndicate, come up with something that everybody can use, and sell it through Google. And everyone will just go, brilliant, there we go. And it'll be a subculture of the music industry. And so you'll just go, what happened? Whoa, where?
So whoa!
So come the Revolution Brothers.
Now we go to Google.
So come the Revolution Brothers. Everything's all right as long as I'm only paying 10%.
Absolutely, yeah. Bite the bullet, let's do it.
Have your revolution, be damned, as long as I'm not paying too much.
Exactly. But the revolution will be televised.
It's all about a pay-per-view.
On BBC. 1, 2, 3,
well,
and
BBC's doing that. Now, I mean, James, you're Mr. BBC, I understand, so I don't want you to put yourself in a difficult position and run the risk of getting sacked on Monday. But the show in the Link Love thing that's going on with the iPlayer at the moment, about the fact that the iPlayer can bounce you out to 4OD and you can go out to ITV on demand and you can go out to 5 on demand, that's just the BBC extorting their foothold in the web market. They are dominant in the web market for on-demand television. Trying to get 4OD on the web is a pain in the arse. The only place it's worth doing it is through YouTube. 5, I didn't even know they had one until I read the story out this morning. That's how prominent it is. The BBC has got it's got the best web experience, by far the best app experience.
The BBC would be extorting it if they forced them to leave the adverts out when they played. The ITV at Channel 4, they're still making money. If somebody presses a button and streams something from 4OD, they're still going to get the pre-roll and the mid-program adverts, and the BBC ain't going to get anything for that. It's just basically, it's becoming a portal. And it comes back to the same thing. The BBC looks after Freeview. It still does. It is central coding amongst for Freeview. So that your digital television comes from the BBC, because the BBC is the only one who could bring everybody together and get them organised to do it. It started off being ITV digital, but ITV chucked that out because they couldn't afford to do it.
I've played into his hands. I've actually given him the line because of the unique way in which the BBC is funded.
Yep,
it absolutely gives it that ability to look after Freeview. That's what you're saying.
Exactly, and it gives the other companies the opportunity to thrive, because it doesn't need to worry about that infrastructure.
Absolutely, you're right, and I feel stupid for not realising it. Good on the BBC. Well done.
And so the question is, what other companies are going to jump on board and take it as an opportunity? A smaller scale broadcaster, because it is an internet presence that people would give their right hand to actually be part of, wouldn't it?
How does PBS work in the States? Now, East Coast Girl says that you pay for it, but I don't understand how you pay for it.
It's donations,
public funded. I mean, sorry, Kerry, go on.
Well, I was just going to say that they get donations from corporations, and they seek donations through pledge drives throughout the year, where they will run shows,
bake sales,
those shows, asking you to call in, and if you send in a certain amount of money, you'll get a calendar or you'll get a copy of the show they're showing on DVD. But I think the bulk of the money comes from both the government and from corporate donations.
Does anyone watch it?
Sure, there's a lot of successful PBS shows that are syndicated, such as Motor Week, which comes out of PBS in Virginia. They've got Ebert, Siskel and Ebert. Well, Ebert's got his new At the Movies thing, which I think is out of Chicago's PBS station. So there are a number of very successful, like Sesame Street is a PBS show.
The Red Green Show, like, can't forget them.
Who?
The Antiques Road Show.
Is that PBS? Yeah, that's PBS.
Yep.
You see, that's the BBC. That's the reason for striking
there,
the BBC
Mr.
off.
BBC?
Nothing. The Antiques Road Show. Where did that originate?
No, you see, the thing that you've got to realise...
the BBC.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing you've got to realise is that baby boomer programming is the market.
It's the future, isn't it?
They've got the spending power, the buying power, they've got the ready disposable cash, they've all finished paying for the house, and there's shed loads of them with all this money. The baby boomer stuff now is huge. My parents' age group from the 80s down to the 65s is an enormous, enormous economic value to every nation.
Adult diapers have never been a hotter sale.
Peeny pads. I remember the advert for those, peeny pads. Oh, look, I peed myself. Oh, Wilbur.
This is the future, kids.
Have we discussed any technology yet?
I'm not sure we have. Okay. I'm going to look at the ether pads, see what's going on.
Peeny pads.
Not gone.
Carrie's returned, but he's never coming back.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the Skype access thing? Because I'm a bit confused about it.
Go on then. Skype access now unlocks over 500,000 hotspots.
What does it do? Does that mean you can get free Skype just by going to a Wi-Fi hotspot?
No, it means you can use video and you haven't got to worry about the 3G limitation.
Right.
So basically what's happened is Skype have signed up with BT OpenZone and a whole pile of others right the way across Europe. And effectively what it means is if you're on a Wi-Fi link previously, if you would say you were on BT OpenZone down the pub, because you know the gaming machines where you put your pound and you get your roller tumblers and that kind of stuff, like the gaming machines you get at Vegas. Those usually contain the Wi-Fi hotspots for the pub. And the BT OpenZone is in there. Now, previously, if you were connected to it and you signed in using your user account, which is fine because O2 had already got a deal with them, all was well and good, but you couldn't do video for Skype. You could only do audio for Skype through those.
Oh, right.
Now what's happened is Skype have signed a deal that means that they've opened them up effectively so you can go ahead and do anything that you want. And Skype are giving video access to 500,000 hotspots across Europe.
But that's, I mean, this is all across. This is all across landlines, so it's not going to be costing anybody a huge amount of money for data, and all you'll be getting is people getting pissed, basically.
Hey. Video,
great. Well, if it's in a pub.
No, they're not all in pubs, dude. Just oh, right. There's a few of them.
There's a few.
Yeah.
If you're drunk and you need a 3 a.m. pub call.
Skype have signed a deal with Burt Nails, with Waggle Dance. It's a great thing. It's a great thing because, I mean, the Skype on the iPad, there was a few weeks ago, Sharon had gone away with the kids and I was left at home on my own, and I get a phone call on Skype from Kyle in the morning while I'm lying in bed watching the telly, and it's like, I can talk on the iPad. With fantastic. I don't need his video and I can't send any because it's the iPad, but, you know, it's good to get that. The one thing that's got me this week is I've been looking at changing my phone account because the amount of data that I don't use a lot of data over the 3G network anyway, but I'm getting humped. I pay like £35 a month, and I bought the damn iPhone that I'm using, and I went to the 3 network, and they've got true unlimited data. And all that happens is when you hit 15 gigabytes, they start to slow you down. That was what the woman said to me in the shop today. When you hit 15 gigabytes of transfer, they might start to throttle you. I mean, the BT open zone or whatever it is that goes on in your house even, that throttles you at 1 gigabyte or 5 gigabytes or something. It's really stupid. And the 3 network is doing almost truly unlimited broadband via the
phone.
That's
pretty impressive.
It is. Brilliant. And it was £25. I got unlimited broadband, 5,000 minutes, 5,000 texts, and 5,000 3-to-3 minutes for £25. And I'm paying £35 for 600 minutes at the moment on O2.
The thing about 3 is it's fairly small. It's a fairly small concern. And when you've got your mobile device, unless you're streaming something, your memory card ain't big enough to take 15 gig a month. So it tends to be consumed material, as in stuff which just goes... just comes down the internet and onto a screen and gone. And so what they're basically probably banking on is that either you're not going to be using it for tethering and running your whole internet operation from it, because you could probably do that. You could probably get rid of your home broadband if you had a decent 3G signal. As long as you're not tethering and all you are doing is operating mobile, you're probably not going to hit that over the course of a month. It does concern me that you can you tether on the iPhone yet?
Yeah.
Only if you jailbreak it.
Well, yeah, if you jailbreak it, yeah, of course. Avoid your warranty and piss off Steve Jobs. Yes, you can do it. Right now, no. 4.3, hopefully. What is Kerry hovering in his monitor?
Kerry's holding up a MiFi, no?
Oh, it's a MiFi.
No.
Yeah. Is that some kind of toy?
What have you got, dude?
This is almost as fast as my home cable connection. It's 4G, and...
Oh, is this the LTE thing?
You swing it open like this, and then there's a USB plug there that maybe you can see, maybe.
Yeah, is that the Verizon one? Or?
Yeah, this is from Verizon. And just as an experiment, I plugged it into my laptop, got a 4G signal, and I was getting 28 megabits down, 9 megabits up. And it's
Kyle Swagger's looking for a sharp knife.
He's sucking down the internet into his laptop just by wherever he goes.
3G is not available. I mean, a 4G is not available. It'll fall back to 3G. 3G is exceptionally painful when you're used to 4G. 4G just blew me away with the speed. This could almost replace my home internet connection if it didn't have the 5 gigabyte per month limit. At $50 a month, 5 gigs download limit. And what I like about it is it's not tied to any specific telephone or laptop. I can plug it into any computer, indoors or out, my own computer, or loan it to a friend. If a friend is traveling, anywhere there's cell phone access. This thing's pretty cool because... This thing's pretty cool because it has the USB port. Let's see if I can get it on the camera. That would probably help, wouldn't it? So the USB port swivels and turns so that... you can, you know, have this thing so it's not going to bust off
your USB port on your laptop if somebody bumps into it, something like that. And then I just like how it all just kind of tucks neatly into its own little. Again, I gotta.
That's pretty cool.
Camera here. And then it just closes really cool. up like.
So costs.
$50 a month on a 2-year contract, 5 gigs, limit per month, and I haven't reached the maximum speed yet. I think it'll do 30 megabytes down, and I think it'll do about 15 up. I haven't, the fastest I've seen so far is about 28 down and 9 up. So it's fairly impressive. Now, of course, when I go to an area that's got 3G, it's painfully slow. Certainly, I don't have the patience for tethering.
can you qualify painfully slow for us?
Well,
please.
When I
give us
travel,
a quantity.
I like to have remote access to my computer. And 3G, the remote access is, I can see the screen drawing. I have to wait for it to finish drawing. With 4G, the screen just pops up, and it's like I'm sitting right there at my desk at home. There's almost no delay.
Wow. What speeds are we talking on 3G? 4 megasecond?
I don't think it'll do that. I think 3G is equivalent to 1.5 megabit DSL.
No, because my 3G MiFi here, this thing.
That'll do 4, 5, 6.
That'll do
it?
4, 5, yeah.
Really?
That does 4, 5 down, and I've had 1.75 up. It's faster than my home connection.
Well, your 3G must be faster than our 3G, because ours is generally about 1.5, 2 if you're lucky.
Well, yours is run by a group of blood-sucking commercial dictators, no?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's about the same here in the States. 3G is about half. So if you're getting 3 gigs, it's about 1.5 megabytes.
Yes. I was going to say, Dan was saying in the chat room that we've got HSDPA as well. So that is fast. Now, my phone does HSDPA, and I've got a crappy old 3-year-old phone. So I think if you're on a decent network here, you do get some reasonably good data rates.
Yeah, Dan's saying tops out at 7.2 megabits a second, so that's not bad. I've had 4 or 5 out of that, and my 3G dongle for Vodafone in the same location, I've had no more than 3 out of it. And O2 with the iPhone tethering service, I had 0.07 megabits a second.
That's painful.
That's sewable. Hell with painful. That's actionable. Right, have we got any cool thingies for us? James, would you like to start us off?
I would. What I've been looking into this week, because I've been having all kinds of trouble with cross-platform messenger things, is what I can use to communicate through iPhones, through to BlackBerrys, to Windows Mobile, to all these different platforms. And yeah. I can't really find any particularly good common messenger tools. I tried to use Skype actually for a little while, but every now and then it would just go, I'm not going to go bother with the messages. So what I've decided to do is just to speak to people on the same platform as me. And on the iPod Touch and the iPhone, I've been playing with Ping Chat, which is pretty much the definitive. It's the one that everybody seems to have. Ping Chat exclamation mark. I'll put a link to it in the chat room. One for Troy though. I was interested. Is there an Android chat tool? IM tool.
There's Google Talk for those that utilize that IM service.
Is that one available on all the systems, do you know? Because, I mean, I wonder if you can get Google Talk on... what do you get Google Talk on the iPod or the iPhone? They don't like Google, do they?
I do not know.
Just get Ping Chat. It's available for iPhone, BlackBerry, and Android platforms.
Fantastic. Ping Chat for the win.
Ping Chat's on for the iPhone, for the Android as well. Very good, then. We like that.
In which case, that is my cool thingy. Everybody's going to get on Ping Chat, but no one's going to talk to me.
I will, James.
Oh, bless
you. Are we sure it's on Android? Because Tails is the man on Android as well as, and he
says
lots of...
It says right here. It says pingchat.com. What's on your device? iPhone, BlackBerry, Android.
Woohoo!
I shall not lie.
Pingchat.com. There we go. A fantastic application. Free of charge?
As far as I know, a couple of adverts at the bottom, and you can type what you like, and it all comes through eventually with a little tick, so it's lovely.
Brilliant. We like free. That's my thing. Well done, mate. Well done. Kyle, you've got a cool thingy for us.
I've got a cool thingy, yes. If you've got an old iPod, and you're like sitting there, I don't know what to do with it. You're stuck at the old firmware, what Apple gave you. They're not really supporting it much anymore. You might want to try a thing called Rockbox, and I shall put a link here in the chat room. What it is, it's a custom firmware for your older iPods. I think it goes up to the 5.5 generation. I've tried it on the early fifth generation iPod, and it works beautifully. The best thing I love about it, customizable interface, and it plays FLAC.
Oh, you love FLAC.
Oh, I love FLAC. And I was really, really impressed with it. It's free. It's open source. They do have a donations thing, so if you want to give them a little bit, it would be much appreciated for them so they can keep developing this thing. But it works for the iPod first gen through the fifth gen, also for the iPod mini, the iPod nano first gen, and the iPod nano second generation. I just like that the interface is very customizable. You can change the themes on it. And like I said, it plays FLAC, and to me, that is the absolute best thing about Rockbox.
Quite possibly Og Vorbis as well. I've had Rockbox on my iRiver i320 years and years ago. So Rockbox has been around for a good long while, and they're really mature now. Couldn't be more good. Yeah. Good choice, sir. Good choice.
Excellent. Thanks, mate. Good pick. Carrie, have you got any cool thingies for us?
You know, I don't know if I've shown this to you before. Have I shown this to you?
No, it's a watch.
But it's not a watch.
Oh, go on then.
In fact, if I push this button right here, I think a little light comes on. A little light will come on. There it is. There's a little light right up in the corner. And if I hit the button again, that light will blink 3 times.
You're not going to kill yourself, dude, are you?
And no, it doesn't do that.
You're going to eject yourself out of your office seat.
This is, I actually have another one here. It's another similar one. It's a little different of a look. Let's see if we can get it in front of the camera.
For those of you listening on audio, I can't even start to describe it.
It's a watch.
It's like a sports watch. But what it actually is an HD, or not HD, but it's a camera. And the camera's down by the number 6. And what you do is you can, there's a one of these knobs here, just unscrews. I can unscrew that like so. And the hole that it leaves.
Now listen carefully, Bond.
Yeah, exactly. The hole that it leaves, you can you have a specialty USB cable here that then just plugs right in like this.
This will self-destruct in 30 seconds.
Oh, do pay attention, Holtzman.
So it does tell the time, and it does record audio, although you do get the ticking sound, unfortunately, in the audio you heard.
No noise cancellation, then.
However, if you don't like that, then we have this one, which these are all purchasable on eBay. Just do a search for spy camera. And this is an 8 gig. It's a pen. The lens is just over the clip. You can barely see it. And on the back of the pen is a light that sort of indicates by pushing the top button, the light will come on and tell you, like right now it's yellow. I think I push it again and it becomes blue. Then that light will go off and it is now recording. And when the recording is done, I can push the button again. I think it'll do about 3 or 4 hours of video. This is definitely something I will take with me the next time I go to purchase a car with all the things the salesman says. And then this just unscrews like so. And it's a USB port built right into it. And that you can just plug right into your computer and transfer the videos right off of it. They also do still pictures as well. I think that the pen is a little easier to aim. It's hard to tell what you're filming with the watch because they don't have LCD screens. And they sell for about $20, $30 on eBay. Pretty inexpensive out of Hong Kong. They take about 2 weeks to arrive. The pen is an 8 gig, believe it or not. And the watches are 4 gigs. And I think the watches hold about 2 hours of video. I think the pen does 4 hours of video.
Dude, you've got to stop your subscription to the Firebox catalog. You are going to be frigging bankrupt.
Trust me. Every time we have Dick DiBartolo on the show, the Gizwiz.
I was just about to say, did you used to buy the see-through, the X-ray specs from the back of Mad Magazine?
I still have them.
Ah!
Anyway, it's pretty cool stuff, and you never know. You never know.
There you go. We replaced Kerry Holtzman with a 12-year-old.
That sounds like an upgrade.
And his mom's credit card. I don't know what to put in the show notes for that, mate. I'll just refer you to Dr. No and every other Bond film. Troy. Oh, hang on. He's back. What, you got nothing more? No. Okay. Right. Troy, have you got an application for us, or are you doing something else?
I always do an Android app. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
It's Troy King's Android app.
Exactly. Missed my jingle, by the way. Anyways, this
ping,
week
it's
I'm
ping
talking
for
about...
Android. Sorry.
Ping for Android.
Not on your life.
Sorry.
Going to talk about Make Your Clock widget. It's an app that's free in the marketplace, and it allows you to custom design your own little clock and weather widget for your Android home screen. And it's simply wonderful. I haven't had a chance to use it yet, but I've downloaded it, and I've watched a video of someone using it, and it just really is amazing, the level of customization you can choose. You know, if you want little tiles behind your time, like with the HTC Sense, you can change the colors, you can change the placement of the date and how you want it sorted. I mean, sky's the limit with this thing. So if you're really into customizing how your Android home screen looks, check out Make Your Clock widget. It is it looks fantastic.
But it just has clocks.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Clocks and weather.
Thank God that the show notes that I've just typed don't appear in the chat room, because I didn't type clock.
Well, I was going to say, widget and clock mixed together can get a little confusing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. My cool thingy is the Mophie Juice Pack for the iPhone 4. I bought this a week ago, and it's super dandy. That's the iPhone 4 width there, the silver bit, and the red bit on the top adds about another 2.5-3 mil to the front of that. It's absolutely fantastic. It gives me two full charges effectively on the current iPhone. The one thing that I haven't got the hang of is the button at the bottom, because if you look at the buttons, it's on green at the minute, and you flick it across and it's on red. Red means it's not charging the iPhone. Greens means it is charging the iPhone, and I can't decide whether I should have it on constant trickle charge or not, or whether I should wait till it runs down and then flick it over and boost it up. But it's fantastic, and it doesn't add hardly any weight to it. It's really, really good. £70, unfortunately, though, so it's not cheap, but it's extremely good. The Mophie Juice Pack Air for the iPhone 4.
Does it get rid of antenna gate?
It does as well, yes, because it holds you well away from it. There's a big section of battery between you and the edge of it, so yeah, it's perfect for antenna gate. No problem at all. I mean, it's just where I live anyway, it's got crap signal, so I can't really road test it that much. But when I'm out on the road, I don't drop calls and I don't lose reception and that kind of stuff. Before we go on any further, I need to mention our sponsors, UK2.net. We say it every week, and I can't think of a better way of putting it, but they really do keep us afloat. We use nearly a terabyte in just audio alone and last month. I think we're well going to go over that this month. We're a long, long way past our expectations. We're getting more and more listeners, which is nice, but without someone picking up the bandwidth charges and turning a blind eye to all of the data that we're consuming, we'd be sunk. It's that simple. So by default, if you're listening to this podcast and you want to carry on listening to this podcast, you've got to go to bageltechnews.com, click on the link to go through to uk2.net, and you don't have to buy anything, just make the click. That makes the big difference. And if you're sending out tweets about Bagel Tech News or something, stick the hashtag on for UK2, include them in the tweet, at UK2net on Twitter. And the other cool thing is that they're going to actually be doing some competitions with us in the coming weeks. So if you've bought a UK2 service and if you're a Bagel Tech listener, there'll be some prizes on offer. And from what I've been talking to the guy there, Craig, there could be some pretty good prizes as well. So they're really looking after us, and I can't say enough nice things about UK2. We don't get a lot of complaints over customer service and that kind of thing with them. Whenever we've had issues over customer service, you know, they would look after us because they sponsor us, but they are very, very good in general. We just usually submit through the main ticket stream and that's it. I don't think anyone's picking us up as anything special. Please go and try them, uk2.net, but go through our website when you go there. Make sure you make the click, because if you don't and they go away, we go away. Every show goes away because we haven't got the money to support the bandwidth that we'd be charged for. So thanks very much. Where can we get a hold of you then, chaps? Troy?
You can find me on Twitter at TheTroyKing and also my website, thetroyking.com, where you'll also find links to the two shows I do in the network, Bagel Tech Rage and Bagel Tech Droid.
Getting some nice numbers for Bagel Tech Rage, mate, last month. A lot of downloads.
Yeah, it was good. It was fun. Thanks.
The angriest man in tech is cornering the market. Climbing steadily. Good man. James, where can we get a hold of you?
I'm SyzyG on Twitter, SYZYGY, and this week I'm going to go to the Luton Beer Festival on Friday. Oh. So if you meet me there, I'll buy you a...
You don't know that's a week away.
What is?
The Luton Beer Festival.
Oh, crikey, I'm not going to be here.
You're not going to be on the big show. You'll be pished.
I'll tell you what, I could try.
No, but it didn't stop me.
Fair enough. That's true.
Kyle, where can we get a hold of you, mate? Kyle's gone quiet.
Oh, he's muted.
Mute. Mute.
I guess I was muted. Sorry about that.
It's all right, mate.
I coughed a second ago, and I didn't want that in. Unfortunately, now I've...
No, because now I've got editing. About 3 minutes. I've got to search for a quiet bit on an audio track. Thanks very much, pal. The fart or the cough I could have found dead easy.
I'll remember that next time. Sorry about that. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/KyleSwagger. I'll keep it that simple.
Okay. Thanks, mate. All that time waiting for that. And finally, Mr. Carrie Holtzman, where can we get a hold of you, pal?
Well, of course, the Computer America Show at computeramerica.com. Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern.
Oh, that's it. Because you're not on Twitter.
I've never been on Twitter.
You should be on Twitter, mate.
As Charles Barkley said on the Tonight Show the other night, Twitter's for losers.
Ah! It's good luck. Right.
So what you mean?
I'm sorry. Bless you. He's in tight.
I've watched him play basketball, and dude, if he hadn't got such big feet, he couldn't put one foot in front of the other. Right. And he's also 3,000 miles away, so he's never going to catch me. That's it. We're finished now, finally. Sorry about that. The Bagel Tech Big Show will be back next Friday. We've got Bagel Tech Broadcast Friday on Fridays every week. 11 a.m. for the Bagel Tech Photo Show, if you're brave enough to get up and listen to us. 1 p.m. for the Mac Show. That's still pretty early for most of you. I do apologise if you're in the States, but it's good enough here for lunchtime. And of course, because the sun's over the yardarm, we'll all be having beer. And then the 10 p.m. for the Mac Show as well. And as Troy and Kyle said there, you've got the other podcasts strewn out throughout the week of the Rage Show, the Droid Show, the Sound Show, and the Media Show. So plenty to listen to here on the Bagel Tech Network. Have a great weekend. Thanks very much for listening.